losing half the church. Most Christians, they realize it, but they don't do nothing about it. There's a battle going on, and it's raging, and they don't know how to handle it because actually never been really, some of them been taught, some of them just don't listen, and they just keep doing what they want to do whenever they want to do it. And we're just talking about a little bit about things that you go through in this life. And Christians get tempted. And the Bible tells us, we're going to look at some verses here this morning. We're going to look at first, kind of set the pace for us. Go to First Corinthians chapter 10. First Corinthians chapter 10. And this whole thing is more of a Sunday school, but I want to help you get through some things, because everybody's tempted. Everybody's go through temptation. And most of the time, Christians fail. They fail the test. They fail and they fall into temptation. And they'll end up making a mess out of their life. And you try to get them to grow. And I've always said this, the devil can't get your soul if you're saved. But he can get your life if you let him. He can get your children. He can get your wife. He can get your sons, your daughters. He can get your wealth. He can get everything if you let him. He can't take nothing from you unless you let him. And you've got to let the devil have his way or run your life. And most Christians, they don't grow. They don't have no desire to grow. And they end up folding when it comes down to temptation. They end up falling in temptation all the time, falling into sin. And we're going to look at that. And you got so many Christians you're hearing about falling into sin with pornography and looking at stuff they shouldn't look at. And they look at, I remember growing up, I got all kinds of junk in my head. I remember growing up, my brother had pictures and he would show me pictures. And then he would show me these triple rated X movies and all that stuff. And that stuff is in my head. And you know, it's there. And once you put something in there, it's there. It's, you got this image in your mind. And a lot of guys are in prison for rape and all kinds of sexual sins, molesting little children, and pedophiles and stuff like that, messing with kids. They didn't start out that way. They started somewhere. They started messing with temptation. And they started playing with temptation, started playing with sin. They got looking at movies and looking at stuff they shouldn't be looking at. And before long, I'm talking about saved people now. I'm talking about saved people, looking at stuff they shouldn't be looking at, and it takes them down a road that they think, how in the world did I get on this road? And then they end up, they don't have a desire to get off that road. They end up staying on that road, and it ruins their life. The Bible says in this, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, look at verse 8, it says, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day, 3 and 20,000, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye all, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for an example, and they are written for our admonition. So Paul's writing this, he's saying these things you should learn from, and these should admonish you to do what's right. And these things happen for a reason, and you can use them as a stepping stone rather than a stumbling block. And most Christians don't use as a stepping stone. They stumble over the thing, and they end up ruining life, and they ruin marriages and ruin children. And we've had men come to church here, and we've had families come to church here, and they've ended up in the sin, and some of them in prison, and some of them, you know, messed with their families. And did all kinds of crazy stuff. And I mean, I'm laying in bed at night looking at the ceiling going, my God, my God. And then this stuff happened in my family before I was saved. And my brother ended up in prison. And all this stuff happened in my family before I was saved. Got a lot of people in my family I wouldn't trust with my children as far as I could kick this building. I wouldn't trust them with grandkids. And because that sin entered in, and they messing with stuff they shouldn't be messing with, and they end up as ruining people's lives and hurting children. And you see it day in, day out. You hear it on the news, these pedophile priests, and then, abortion, little girls having babies, and the babies being aborted. And I just, a guy sent me a clip the other day of a doctor describing an abortion. Oh my Lord, he's before a Senate committee and they're asking him why he quit abortions, and he was telling about how he had to bring out legs, second trimester abortions, how he had to bring out legs. He's got the thing, goes in and tears the baby apart and brings out a leg at a time, and then he has to stack the baby parts there so make sure he got all the parts. And he's describing this thing. It got me so stirred up, man. About last night, I'm watching this thing, and I showed my wife and some other, my daughter, and I wanted to show them that. So, man, it stirred me up. And he said he did over 1,200 abortions. That's 1,200 babies. 1,200, but that's just one doctor. And he quit doing it after his daughter got killed and all that. Every time he said, now every time I saw a baby, it was staring at me. And he said, I have nightmares about these babies. And and in our country, there's so many abortions, millions of babies being aborted, but everybody's got it all mixed up. I mean, I'm not for abusing animals and hurting animals and stuff like that. But you'll go to jail faster for hurting an animal or dog than you would aborting a baby. You'll go to jail for that, and there are babies, lives being taken. But look at this. It says. Now, these things happen for examples, and they are written for admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And it says, be careful how you think you are. You don't think that you've arrived, because it's always going to be a battle. There is no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. God is faithful. It says the temptation that you're going to face is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, he says, flee idolatry. And he says, I speak as to wise men, judge what I say. So he's saying God will not deliver you over to temptation. He'll always make you a way. He said he'll allow temptation to come. He'll allow these things to happen. And he'll make a way to get out. Now, take your Bible, look in James chapter 1. Look in James chapter 1. This is to help you. This is not to hurt you. I'm not trying to destroy anybody's faith. I'm not trying to do that. I'm trying to help you understand what's going on and how you can get through this thing and how you can pray and ask God to help you in temptation. The Bible talks about you're going to be tempted. Now, then the Bible talks about you're going to be tried. There's a difference between being tried. God allows you to be tried. He'll allow you to go through things to make you tougher, to make you stronger, to make you, when it comes to his faith and the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and standing for him, he'll give you trials to make you tough. But temptations come. Most times temptations come, so it'll try to destroy your flesh. That's what comes from the Satan himself. But the Bible says, look at verse 12. Blessed is a man that endureth temptation, that endureth it. It says, for when he is tried. Now, temptation and trying sometimes can go hand in hand. Jesus Christ was tried. He didn't eat for 40 days. In Matthew chapter 4, he goes up and the tempter, the Bible calls the devil the tempter. The tempter came and tried to get him to sin and tempt him into sin, even though he was being tried. You can be tried and then be tempted in the middle of your trial to sin against God. You can be going through a trial, and the devil will try to do this. He'll try to get you to move before God wants you to move, or do something contrary to what the Bible says you ought to do. He'll try to get you to do something instead of you saying, what am I supposed to do? You're supposed to go, Lord, help me. God, give me wisdom. Don't let me mess up. If this is a trial from you, help me to pass the test of my faith. And now you say, well, why would God try you? Military tries their men. They teach men, and then they try them. They'll teach you and then try you. Why? To make you stronger. So when you get in that situation, you'll know how to handle it. So you're going to be out in the world, and we went through, I went through boot camp and everything. I never went to war, but I went through boot camp, and they was teaching us how to defend ourselves and how to go to battle. And the Word of God helps you to, how to defend yourself, how to go to battle, because you're going to get in a battle. There's no doubt. Amen. You're going to be, if you're trying to live for God, it's going to be a fight. And that's why most Christians don't want to go to church. They don't read the Bible. And they don't want to pray, because they think, well, if I don't do it, then I won't fight. You're going to fight whether you're going to do it. I mean, whether you're praying, reading your Bible, anything, you're going to get in the battle. But what happens is, if you don't read your Bible and don't pray and don't study and ask God to help you, then you're going to fall so fast that you can't believe that you went down that quick. Guy getting knocked out, hadn't prepared himself. And you're going to get knocked out. And I don't want to see you knocked out. I'm sick and tired of seeing Christians ruin their lives and destroy themselves. And then, a guy end up hanging himself. I'm sick and tired of it.
Yeah, amen.
I'm sick and tired of seeing Christian. Guy was saved, just as saved as you and I.
Yep.
But I left 4 children behind to suffer for it and his wife. I'm sick and tired of that. And I'm going to try to do something. I've been trying to do something for 30-some years. Trying to see people say, but I thought, what else could I have done? I called them and I called them and I called them, went to see them, and I'm trying to get them in church. Try to get them in reading their Bible. But what happens is most Christians, they'll do this. Well, I ain't got time right now. I ain't got time right now. I can't do that right now. And I think, you're crazy. You're crazy. If you're saved, the devil knows it. God knows it. You're his child. And the devil's going to try to destroy you. Like I said, he can't get your soul. But he'll get your life. He'll get your children. He'll get everything that you own if you let him. I went by a house over there. I was showing Nathan. Went by a big old house worth over $1 million. This guy built. He was in church at one time. Him and his wife raising their kids. And we went over the house. I told you this. Went over the house, and they got arguing about money, fighting about money. And before long, he was envious of her or scared that she might get all the money or she might use all the money. And they end up, we were by the house. They lost everything they had. They lost everything. His wife had to come to church here. We gave her $1,000 to pay her rent. And they were, man, on the road becoming millionaires. And they lost everything. They were saved. They hate each other now. Now, the Bible tells us about temptation. And it's a test. And temptation comes into Christian's life. And then there's trials that come into Christian's life. And there's going to be things that you're going to face on a daily basis. In Genesis 22, the Bible says that God did tempt Abraham. Took his son up. It was a trial. And God took him up and tried him. And the Bible talks about Abraham passed the test. And the Lord said, Abraham, don't slay your son. And God blessed Abraham because Abraham trusted God in everything. He trusted God. You've got to get to a place in your life where you trust God with everything. I mean everything. If you trust him with your salvation, you got to trust him with everything for him to bless it and use it. You got to trust him. My Bible talks about in James, look at this. And James, it says, blessed is the man that endures temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted that I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. For every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own what?
Love.
And enticed. So what you feed, is what you're going to become. And what's going to attack you. Every man in this room, you got red blood in you. You've got, every woman in this room got red blood. You got to have a temptation to come of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. The Bible tells us we get a battle. The battle is on, and we have a battle with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. All those three things, especially when you start making money, you start getting money, you start getting things, you start wanting to show it all, and you start, like Nebuchadnezzar did, you start saying, look what I got. And before long, man, you better be humble about it. Look what God given me. God gave me this. I mean, I didn't do this on my own. God did it. God allowed me to do it. Give me the ability to be able to do it. You better be humble. If you're not, then you can lose everything you got. I'm not saying God's kind of sadistic, kind of God up there waiting to just stomp you out. No, he wants to bless you. He wants you to grow. He wants you to love him. He wants you to go on to see souls saved. He wants your children blessed. I mean, he wants you to raise them for him. And boy, and you can have generational blessings. Generational blessings. Or you can have generational curses. My family had generational curses on them. And when I got saved, God started changing that. He changed that generational curse. Now, look at here. It says, and when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift, every perfect gift, come from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be the kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness, fluidity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Now, what he's saying, get in the word of God. Get in that thing. I mean, study the word of God. Give God credit where credit's due. Say, God, you're everything. You belong. You've given me everything. Some men get up and say, well, I'm a self-made man. No, you're not. You're a fool to say something like that. Luke chapter 22. Look in Luke 22. And Peter was a great apostle, a great man, and he was a fisherman, got saved, or believed on the Lord, and the Bible says Jesus looked at Simon Peter, remember now, the devil's a tempter, and he's right there to tempt, and he's right there to try to attack you, and that's why the Bible tells us to put on the whole armor of God. I mean, all of time. You know what I've seen? I've seen Christians get saved, and I've seen them get on fire, and they start growing, and something happens. Something happens in their life where they quit growing and they start reverting back to like before they got saved. They start living like they did before they got saved. They go back to drinking. They go back to drugging. They go back to smoking. They go back to them things that what brought them to Christ in the first place is what they go back to. Like Peter ended up going back. He said, I'll go back fishing. And Jesus came out after him. And what happens to most Christians, they'll end up, if you're not growing, you start reverting back to your lost ways and your lost mindset. Amen. And that's, then you get into temptation. When temptation comes, and it comes from being tempted, you go through it and you fail your temptation. You fail. Brother Jimmy Chandler preached on losing your edge. And he said the guy that lost the edge knew right where he lost it at, went back to that place. And most people know where they lost that when they lost that battle with temptation. And what happened was, rather than getting it right with the temptation, they kept letting that thing play its way out. And they let it play out. And then before long, it takes them further back and they don't read their Bible. They don't want to come to church. They don't want to worship God. They don't sing songs of Zion anymore. They start listening to all kinds of music, different kind of music, satanic music. You say, well, satanic, what do you mean by satanic? I'm talking about any kind of music that's not godly music. And it's all about the flesh. It's all about me. It's all about I. It's all about number one. And you get caught up in that thing and destroys you. I can see it coming. I can see it coming in people's lives. When they start getting cold, they go through a temptation, a trial, and they fail, and they keep going, and they keep messing around with it, not getting the thing right, saying, oh, God, help me. Oh, God. I don't know how many times I'm riding down the road going, oh, God, help me. Oh, God, don't let me fall. Lord, God, help me not to fall. I mean, going down the road out loud saying, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord God, to be a good man. Help me to love you. Help me, because I wasn't a good man. Amen. And you revert back to that old man if you don't. Now, look here. Luke chapter 22. I'm going to show you how real this battle is. The real battle is, verse 31, Peter, look what Jesus said about Peter. He said, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. Satan desires to have you. If you're saved, Satan desires to have you. Amen. That's why the Lord's equipped you to be able to fight. The Bible says, draw nigh to God. Yes. Resist the devil. and he'll flee. See, God's equipped Christians, but what happens is they get into temptation and they go, I'm just tired of fighting it. Well, I'm just tired. I'm just going to give up. Or they quit putting on their equipment. They quit and they get wounded. And they get wounded, and then before long, they start bleeding out. And when they get wounded, they don't try to repair anything. They don't try to repent. I'm going to show you a tragic thing in a minute. They don't repent over the thing. They just end up staying wounded. And they use that as an excuse not to serve God. And then they revert back to the old man. They go back to the old drinking, old drugging, old, and then they accuse everybody else. Everybody's hypocrites. I've seen it. I've been pastoring 31 years. I've seen people do it. I've seen the path that they go, and I've seen they start pointing the fingers and start saying, oh, so-and-so's a hypocrite. They're hypocrites. They're hypocrites. Oh, so-and-so's a hypocrite. They're hypocrites. They're hypocrites. And they start using that as a means to justify the end. You know what that shows me? That shows me they've never gotten right over the temptation or the trouble or the sin that came in their life. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth what? Death. You're killing yourself. You're killing yourself before your time.
Amen.
Lot made, you know, Abraham leaves the Ur of Chaldees, and he takes his nephew with him. And his nephew benefited from Lot. We don't have time to get into all that, but he benefits from Lot's blessings. And Lot ends up causing trouble for Abraham every time he turned around. He caused trouble. And Lot ended up getting all the riches too. He started getting things. But Lot's heart was towards Sodom, the Bible tells us. He loved the flesh. He loved the things of the flesh. We all do. I'm not trying to say we don't. We all love the flesh. And that's your battle. You got to battle that flesh. And Lot loved that flesh, man. He loved the things. He loved when people came out of Sodom and Gomorrah talking about what they got down there and all the things that they have. And man, I'm going to be somebody. I could be somebody. Abraham, everybody wants to talk. They always want to talk to Uncle Abraham. They don't want to talk to me. I'm going to be somebody one day. I'm going to show Uncle Abraham that I can be somebody on my own. And he made, in the temptations, he made bad decisions. In temptations, you make bad decisions. He starts looking. Abraham gives him a choice. He said, hey, whichever way you go, I'll go the opposite. And he goes, okay. He said, I'm going towards Sodom. The Jordan area is well watered. I'm going that way. So we read about Lot. He goes down towards Sodom. Before long, he's in the city. Before long, he's sitting at the gate. Before long, and God says, I'm going to destroy the place. Well, actually, they get run over by other kings. And Abraham, with his servants, with 300 servants, goes and rescues them. But then Abraham said, I ain't going to take nothing from you. I don't want nothing of yours. Abraham wouldn't touch none of their spoil. He said, I don't want none of that. I don't want that stuff to affect me. Amen. The only reason I did this was called my nephew.
Amen.
To deliver him, Lot. And he goes, and Abraham goes off, and God tells him, God shows up one day with two angels, and God sits down with Abraham and says, should I hide it from him? He said, we're going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. So Abraham comes to the rescue of his nephew, starts bargaining with God. Are you going to destroy that place for 50? And he says, no. He said, how about 40? And he says, no. Well, you know the story. He gets down to 10, and he was satisfied. Lot did his job. He had at least, he had all his kids and his son-in-laws. He did his job. Say, God's not going to destroy it because Lot did what was right. Guess what? He didn't. Abraham stops at 10, satisfied. And Lot was benefiting. You know how Lot ends up? Lot ends up leaving. His wife loses his wife, loses his children. I mean, man, angels go down there and destroy the place. And Lot ends up in a cave and committed incest with his own two daughters. And he has two children, illegitimate babies, by his two daughters. Bad decisions. Bad decisions. One decision after another bad in the temptation. It started with temptation. One bad decision after another in temptation. Amen. I see it in people's lives. One bad decision after another. It started with a temptation. I just want that. You know, the Bible says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded.
Amen.
They may not tempt it. You know, you start chasing after the almighty dollar, guess what will happen? That temptation will take over your life and you'll make bad decisions from here on out. And you'll run your family through the ringer for it. And you'll run everything through the ringer and lose everything because of your temptation. You want it. I gotta have it. You go after it. Lot goes down there. He has two children living in a cave. And those two kids grow up hating God. Hating the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know what I've seen with families and Christian families? They end up raising their kids and they made bad decisions because of temptation in their life. They make bad decisions and they raise their kids and the kids end up hating God, hating church, hating everything about God, and they go astray. And you're talking about the three chairs, man. It only takes two chairs before the children go bad. There is no temptation taking you but such as common to man. God is faithful. And you know what we do? We blame God for it. Now, I want you to see something. Go with me to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. I don't have time to go through everything here. You chase after money. You'll chase after things and you'll go after things that God says, I'll give it to you if you just do what's right. If you'll just do what's right. You know, Jesus taught his disciples in Matthew chapter 6, he said, here's how you pray. Lead us not into what? That's a good prayer to pray. Lord, you know today I'm going to be tempted. Every man goes to work, he's tempted. Every woman goes to work, she's tempted. Lord, lead me not in temptation today. Help me, God, to have strength enough to fight this temptation. Don't let me make a bad decision because it's going to make it leads to another bad decision, then another bad decision, and then another bad decision. Because of temptation. Temptation come in your life, and you'll think, oh, that looks good. Oh, man, I can get away with that. I can do something about that. Lead us not into temptation. You know, Bible, Jesus said, he said to a fellow, he said, go and sin no more lest something worse happen to you. You know what I've seen happen to Christians? They get saved out of a life of sin, and they get on fire for God, and then they get tempted in a situation, and they fall out, and they won't get it right. I see them come to church. They won't get it right. They sit there, and they won't get it right. And they won't go to the altar. They won't pray. They don't say, God, I'm sorry. And it leads them to bitterness. See, temptation has all kinds of angles that comes at you. And it leads them into bitterness and leads them into other things. And they want to blame everybody else for the problem. And the temptation, if they would just man, God, help me. Help me with this temptation. Help me not to fall. David ends up looking to 2 Samuel. We all know about David's sin. It came to pass, chapter 11, 2 Samuel 11. Most people don't realize when they read this what it led to. It says, it came to pass after a year that was expired, at the time when the kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, all the Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon. And it says, down to verse 2, and it came to pass as the evening tide that David rose from off his bed. And David should have been in battle, should have went out with his men, and walked upon the roof. See, when people say, I'm bored, that's man, that's bad. That's trouble. When a kid says, I'm bored, and, you know, they always end up wanting to watch a movie, and they always want to end up doing something else, and they end up in the sin. A temptation comes, and then the devil plants a seed in their mind, and then it gets in their heart. And before long, those kids ain't got enough character to stand against any kind of temptation. They won't stand against any temptation. They'll just fall for anything. Because as a parent, you never taught them how to fight against sin. Never taught them how to fight against temptation. Now, you're going to be tried. Like I said, in the middle of a trial, Jesus Christ was being tried by Satan. Or by God, and Satan showed up and tempted him in the middle of it. Are you hungry? Come on, man. You can eat something. You can be going through a trial God designed for you, and the devil's going to show up to try to tempt you in the middle of that trial. and to try to get you to fall. So in Samuel, David goes on. It says it came to pass. David was in, he was in the perfect will of God. He was doing exactly what God wanted him to do except for this. And David rose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, it is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. And David sent messengers and took her. After a while, I'm sure he's sitting around saying, oh, that's Uriah's wife. Man, she was looking good. Boy, oh, man, I desire her. Oh, my. It's like David's son, Amnon, end up messing with his sister Tamar. And after he got her, he couldn't live without her. He had to have her. And after he got her, then he hated her more than what he loved her. And caused more of us. See, sin is that way. When you see it, it's so appealing. It's so desirable. And you think, I can't live without it. And once you get it, you make bad decisions with it. And the bad decision was going for it. People have money problems. And when they have money problems, they'll gamble. They'll have money problems, and so they'll go down to the casinos, and they'll go down and make one bad decision after another. Instead of on their face saying, God, you have to do something miraculous for me. God, I need money to pay this bill. And you, Lord, you know I need it. And I haven't squandered the money. I've been giving like I'm supposed to. I've been doing what I'm supposed to. And you know what, God, you'll see? You'll miss, if you don't stand for God, you'll miss to see the blessings of God in your life. You'll miss seeing the miracle of God in your life through a temptation that comes. Rather than trusting God, the Bible says, trust the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy path. Rather than trusting God, you'll try to make it happen your way. And what you'll do is destroy it. One bad decision makes another bad decision. So David is on his house, walking along, sees this woman. Instead of going, oh, my Lord, she's bathing. I shouldn't even look at that. See, it's not a sin if you walk up on something and you see something by accident. It's not a sin. If you seen if he's seen this woman bathing and he walked up on it and walked along there and he said, oh, man, there's Bathsheba. I mean, here's that woman bathing. She's beautiful, but my Lord, I shouldn't be looking. Instead, he went, wow. And then he said to his servants, who is she? And they started telling who she was. And he said, man, how about y'all go talk to her for me? Bring her up here. He ends up sleeping with her. And from that temptation that he didn't fight, I wrote it down here. From that temptation, there was an act. And from that temptation, there was a child. From that temptation, there was a murder. And from that temptation was incest. And from that temptation, from then death again of a child. From that temptation, another murder. From that temptation, another murder. From that temptation, so on and so on and so on. Amen. Lead us not into temptation. Amen. Deliver us from evil. And finally, David had enough sense when the baby died. Or before the baby died, David repented. And that's why God didn't kill him. But David got to see the results of the temptation that he fell into. And it cost him 4 children. And then his sons conspiring against him. Absalom conspired against him to try to take the kingdom, to overthrow him. Then he had another son that tried to overthrow Solomon. And he ends up dead over one temptation. Four people died. Incest. A rape. Death of a child. All these things happen from one temptation. I've been tempted. And you've been tempted. I've been tempted to sin into things. I've been tempted. As a man, I've been tempted. As a man, I've been tempted to go do something I shouldn't have done after I was saved. But what made me think was that I always pray this. Lord, may the Holy Ghost quicken me when I'm not thinking right. May the Spirit of God quicken me and remind me real quick before I mess up. See, the Bible says, we was talking about that in Sunday school, the Holy Ghost, which God's going to give you a comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. He's inside you. And the Holy Ghost will say, stop. I never forget one day a guy started some trouble with me. And in my heart, I was in Lowe's. I threw the guy over a counter. And in my heart, I was going to break his neck. And I went after him. And I thought, I'm going to break his neck. And I'm not kidding, I heard a voice inside me go, stop now. Don't you do that. I heard that voice and I started shaking. I told Jesse on the way out of there, I said, man, the old man was trying to come out. And I said, it kind of felt good, but the old man would have ruined everything. The old man says, let me go. Let me do what I want to do. Let me have it. It'll destroy you. You'll not only destroy your life, you destroy your wife, your children, your home, your testimony, other Christians. Spirit of God can quicken me. When you start meditating on sin, on a temptation, you start meditating on it, you better deal with it quick. Say, God, that's wrong. Call it what it is. That's wrong. I'm not going to do it. God help me. Yeah. Call it out if you got to out loud. You better deal with it. Sin will always take you farther than you want to go. Amen. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. It'll cost you more than you ever want to pay. One little temptation, falling for it, will destroy your life. Look in Malachi. I'm gonna read this verse to you, Malachi. I'll tell you something else to pray. God, put the fear of God in you. Say, well, the fear of God, what are you talking about, the fear of God? Fear of God is healthy. It's healthy for you. The fear of God will keep you from doing wrong. God, help me to fear. Bible says perfect love casts out fear, but God, help you to stay right. Why? The Bible says the flesh is weak. Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. Malachi chapter 3, and we're going to read this. See, when you got saved, you trusted God with your soul, which is the most important thing, most valuable thing you ever had. Most valuable. Your soul. Your soul is priceless. It's priceless. But we get to a place in our lives that we can't trust God with anything else but our soul. We can't trust God with that. That's why people say, I can't give. I can't trust God that he's going to help meet my needs. Now, the Bible tells us that God will provide. And God, he says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God will provide. When you get to the place as a Christian, you can trust God with everything. I'm talking about everything. Lord, and I mean, the Lord might make you sweat it out. You'll sweat things out. You say, well, why am I financially in the position I'm in? Sometimes you have to look at yourself. You got to look at what decisions you made that brought yourself. I've had to look at myself. I made some bad decisions financially. And I put myself in a bad position. And I've said this to God, Lord, if you'll help me get out of this, I promise I won't do it again. Have I kept my promise? Not always. God's always got me out. He's always provided. God's met our needs financially, a miracle, did a miracle. But look at this. Even from the days of your fathers, verse 7, Malachi chapter 3, verse 7. Like I said, this is more of a Sunday school lesson. He said, even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. He's talking to Israel. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithe and offerings. Ye are cursed. Now, God put a curse on the nation of Israel. Now, I believe there's semi-curses on an individual person that don't do what's right with what God's given you. Now, I'm not talking about a permanent curse. I'm talking about there's some things that can happen that have turned to crud in your life. Now, Israel, as a nation, God put a curse on them. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. He says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. A lot of preachers preach on this so they get more money. And I'm not preaching on this so we can get more money. That's not my purpose. My purpose is to help you to overcome temptations. It's going to be a temptation not to give to God, not to give to your life, your family, anything to God. As you try to run it, and you'll destroy it. You'll be tempted to do that. And don't fall for that temptation. Don't fall for it. Because God made you. He knows you. He knows you better than anybody. And I will return, he says, bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse, that it may be meat in mine house, and prove me now therewith. He says, prove me. Check me out. I like checking God out. Wherewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I've seen that happen in our lives. I've seen it. And it wasn't no con. It wasn't trying to get anything out of nobody. God did that. Amen. He says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. See that thing? Devourer is something that just eats up everything you got. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and ye shall not destroy he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, talking about Israel. And ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? And ye have said, is it vain to serve God? In your own heart you'll say, is it vain to serve God? Are we just doing this in vain? Are we here this morning because it's just vain? It's just something we're superstitious about? Is it something that somebody put on us and put a whammy on us, or put a curse on our, or put a, or did something to us to make us want to be here? Is it? Not for me. Because I know he's real. I know what he's done. He says, ye have said, is it vain to serve God? And what profit is it that we kept his ordinances, and that we should walk mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. See, we start saying, how come them people out there, they tempt God, and they're real proud, and they seem like they're happy, and they got everything, and look at that. Now we're saying that they're better off than we are. He says, they say that fear the Lord. Now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. They're set up. Look at their house. Look at their cars. Look at all that. Man, they're set up. We start looking at that stuff and start saying, look at that. What? We're serving God. This is vain. Temptation comes. You make the right decision. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. While we're together, we spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that served him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. God's telling Israel, if you'll just keep serving me, I'll show you. It ain't over till it's over. It ain't the end till it's the end. And it comes through a temptation. You decide. God, help me in the middle of this trial. Help me in the temptations that I'm facing every day. Are you going to pass the test? What happens to most Christians? Like I said, they don't pass the test. They fall into sin. They go through divorce. They go through all kinds of problems. And they blame God for all the decisions. They say it's all God's fault. I tried that serving God before. I've tried serving him. But man, I tell you what, it don't work. You didn't go by what God said. And he didn't say, he said, flee fornication. Flee these things. And temptation come in your life. Flee it. Trust God. Look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter. We'll close with this. 2 Peter. There's a lot to this thing. Man, I woke up thinking about this morning. Dreaming about it. So many Christians never get to that point in their Christian walk where they can trust God and say, God, help me through temptations. When the Bible tells us, Lord, pray, lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil for thine own sake. Look in 2 Peter. In the middle of a trial, you can be going through a trial right now. I don't know how long the trial will be. We went through trials. Our house burnt down. Our son got run over by a car. My other son had a heart problem. My daughter had stomach problems. We're living in the basement of the church for I don't know how long. Oh, 5 months. That's what it was, 5 months. And then with 7 months total, and I thought about what Revelation said, talking about 7 months. But look in 2 Peter chapter 2 and look at verse 9. Or back up to verse 4. For if God spare not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell and deliver them in the chains of darkness to be reserved on the judgment. Spare not the old world and save Noah, the eighth person, the preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of ungodly and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. Condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example of those that afterwards should live ungodly. God's saying all these examples I'm sending. And to deliver just Lot, vexed. Notice Lot had a vex on him. Say, God, get any vex off of me. Get any vexes off of me. I don't need no vex on me. I don't need to be vexed by this world, by the temptations of this world. God, help me not to seek after. Like I said, Lot, it was in his heart. Lot wanted those things, and he was going to have it no matter what. He was going to go after it, and he was hungry for it. Abraham said, keep your stuff. I don't want your junk. You have it. I got plenty. God's blessed me. I don't need all that junk. Lot's down there looking at pornography. Lot's down there looking at junk that he shouldn't have been. Lot called homosexuals his brothers. He said, hey, brother, how much money y'all got? How much money you got in the bank? Oh, man, I like you. You got money. You know I've noticed? The homosexual movement, lesbians, they got money. They've got a thing in Washington, D.C., they've got a program, not a program, but they got an organization. They lobby Congress to get laws passed so they can mess with kids. They're lobbying it. Now all this stuff has come out about these priests. And just on the news this morning, there was a woman that stood up in a Mormon church and said that bishop molested her when she was a teenage girl or whenever, and she brought it up before the church, and the Catholic Church, they've said over 1,000 children. I'd say a lot more than that. I'd say in the hundreds of thousands of children that these priests molested. And then you got Christians doing the same thing. Now, look at verse 5. Spare not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of ungodly and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and the ashes, condemning them with an overthrow, making them examples of those that should live ungodly. And deliver just Lot, vexed with the conversation of the wicked. That's why you don't hang around somebody talking wicked. You just get away from them. For that righteous man, dwelling among, it caused Lot a righteous man. That righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day. That's how the devil works on you, day by day. If you don't get in your Bible day by day, talk to God, every day you live, man, he's going to be vexing you with their unlawful deeds. But look what the Bible says. For the Lord knoweth how to deliver the ungodly, deliver the godly out of temptation, to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. See, God knows how to deliver you, but you never cry out for deliverance. If you don't cry out, Lord, help me, deliver me, don't let me have my own way. Don't let me do something that's going to shame you or my family or my children or our church. Don't let me do it. I'd rather be dead than do it. So if you die next week, we'll know what happened to you. But that's serious. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. I'm sick and tired of seeing Christians that were once on fire. Now they're going backwards. And you couldn't even tell if they were saved. If you've seen them out in the world, you couldn't tell they were saved. The way they talk, the way they act, and the people they hang with, you couldn't tell. It should not be so, brethren. But we're living in the day and age, the Laodicean church, where they said, I'm rich, I need nothing. I do what I want to do. We're living in the Laodicean means the rights of the people. Everybody thinks they got their rights to do what they want to do, and they're unhappy, and the only thing they can find, the devil is going to destroy them or allow them to destroy themselves. What's going to happen to you? I told you I got to preach a funeral today, a young man. I wept over him. Looking at his children, looking at his wife, and thinking, it should not be so. Shouldn't have happened. Somewhere down the line, he didn't repent over the temptations. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. You mess with sin, mess with temptation, it'll destroy you. Amen. Every night I get down on my knees, I pray for my family. I pray for my children, I pray for my wife, I pray for my grandkids. God, put the fear of God in them. Give them a tender heart. Pray for my nephew. My nephew called me up and apologized. Told me he's sorry for shaming our family name. Tore me up. I'm sick and tired of seeing people destroy themselves. I hope you don't. I hope you take heed. Take heed. We're all in the same boat. We all got the same battles. We should be here one for another. Pray one for another. Put the fear of God. Ask God to put the fear of God in you. Give you a tender heart. Father, my Father, I love you this morning.